Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
December 19th, FedEx Forum. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Another Beaver production.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops this year with the new 2019 fall arrivals. Introducing the strikingly new T-Series irons from Titleist. Featuring the T100 iron designed as a player's iron, the T200 iron a player's distance iron, and the T300 iron, the complete game improvement iron. All pure Titleist. Let us help you find the right set and get custom fit today. Just a few of the new releases you'll find at Edwin Watts Golf Shops over the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1960.
Think of it, driving on the open road in a late model semi-truck, earning a solid paycheck, and spending quality time at home. That's how your life could be as a Class A CDL driver with Paper Transport, Inc. They have various regional driving positions open with parking near Memphis, Tennessee. Plus, there's even the option to keep your truck at home. Sound like a job for you? Then take the first step to join the PTI driving team by calling 1-855-784-5627 or visit drivepti.com/Memphis. That's drivepti.com/Memphis.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Connor Dunning's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you aren't out there relying on Tim Tebow to make sensible arguments about big issues within college athletics, because the Florida Gator icon, he's great at a lot of things. But making sensible arguments on TV about big issues in college athletics doesn't appear to be one of them. My dude made a, don't mind me saying, a fool of himself this morning on ESPN. Only took him 79 seconds to do it. I'll explain where he's wrong and why he's wrong about student athletes being allowed to profit off of their name, image, and likeness momentarily. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:25, Dan Walken's going to join me from USA Today. We'll talk about this topic, obviously, but also a big college football weekend ahead of us. Dan Walken's going to join me right around 4:25. When I finish that, I usually do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I discuss four previously undiscussed stories. But there are a lot of you guys out there trying to act like Tim Tebow actually made good points on TV this morning. Now, I think you're silly, and I think you'll sound silly if you try to bring one of those points to my attention, because keep in mind, this is a topic I get paid to talk about, write about, and have been for years, and there's probably not a point you're going to be able to make that I can't slap out of the air pretty easily, but I'm willing to give you a shot. We'll do that at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. 5:25, I'll get into Jane Springer's visit to the University of Memphis, answer a question somebody emailed me today, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to. But I wanted to start with Tim Tebow. The two-time national champion and Heisman Trophy winner turned college football analyst was on ESPN this morning discussing California's Fair Pay for Play Act that Governor Newsom is expected to sign into law at some point this month. It would not go into effect until January 1st, 2023, but it's through every legislative body it needs to go through in the state of California. It's merely sitting on the governor's desk now. And given that the vote was literally 111-0 in favor of this bill becoming a law, There's no precedent whatsoever for the governor vetoing it, even though the NCAA has asked him to veto it. Simply put, he's not going to. This will become a law soon, and it will go into effect January 1st, 2023. Now, I've noticed some of you who tweet me are a little confused about what this bill would and would not do. So let me explain in the simplest terms. It's called SB 206 or the Fair Pay for Play Act. And what it would do when it goes into effect January 1st, 2023, is it would not only allow student athletes at California-based institutions under the NCAA umbrella to accept fair market value, in other words, whatever somebody's willing to give them for their name, image, and likeness. If it's $20 to sign an autograph, fine. If it's $2 million to go on a billboard, fine. Not only would this law allow student athletes at California-based institutions under the NCAA umbrella to take whatever they can get in exchange for their name, in exchange for usage of their name, image, or likeness, it would, and this is the point I think some people have missed, also make it illegal for California-based institutions to prevent them from doing it. In other words, right now, as I've explained earlier this week, if this rule, right now, under current NCAA rules and current California law, if the point guard at UCLA took $200,000 from Under Armour to go on a billboard being a commercial, UCLA would immediately step in and say that is an impermissible benefit in violation of NCAA laws. You cannot accept that. And if you do accept it, we're going to have to rule you ineligible. When this law goes into place, UCLA can't do that anymore. There's nothing they can do about it. They would be in violation of California law if they tried to prevent this young man or young woman, by the way, in any sport, yeah, basketball and football, but also volleyball, soccer, golf, whatever. They wouldn't be able to prevent any student athlete from accepting what anybody's willing to give them in exchange for their age, name, image, and likeness. But unless the NCAA adapts its rules, it would still be in violation of NCAA rules. So here's where we've got the issue. In other words, fast forward January 1st, 2023. Let's just play hypothetical. The NCAA hasn't gone this far with its rules, but the law goes into effect. UCLA point guard takes $200,000 to be in a commercial from Under Armour. NCAA says, hey, that's the impermissible benefit in violation of our rules, in violation of amateurism. You've got to rule that player ineligible. UCLA says, we're prohibited by law from doing that. We can't do that. NCAA says, well, then you're going to be playing an ineligible player. It's going to make your team ineligible for the NCAA tournament. And then UCLA is going to say, we understand your rules, but do you understand our laws? We are not in a position legally to do anything about this. And then it's a big lawsuit. Because what California state legislators have already said is that if the NCAA really tries to prevent our athletic programs from competing for championships, which is what the NCAA has threatened, then we will file a massive class action lawsuit and we'll see you in court. So unless there is some compromise somewhere, and it seems pretty clear California lawmakers aren't willing to compromise at all. This is their law. It's going to pass. NCAA, you better meet us over here. The NCAA doesn't seem willing to go that far with it. This is going to be an issue someday. So that's what we're talking about. It's not about UCLA paying players or Memphis paying players. This would not allow an institution to come straight out of its athletic department and pay a player. It would merely allow student athletes to accept anything outside entities are willing to give them in exchange for usage of their name, image, and likeness. So ESPN thought it was a good idea to bring Tim Tebow on First Take this morning. He was asked to discuss it. And if you missed it, here's what Tim Tebow said.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's that
man.
Opportunity in the NFL, that's but fair. Not in college football.
So that was 1 minute, 19 seconds of Tim Tebow being passionate. And when First Take tweeted a link to the clip, which has now gone viral, everybody's talking about this on social media. That is the way they described it. Tim Tebow had a passionate response when asked about the Fair Pay for Play Act in California. And I can acknowledge, clearly passionate. No doubt, sounded passionate. Like, I think he means every word he says, but that doesn't mean any word he said makes any sense whatsoever. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, they didn't give him a scholarship for thinking. He's a football player. And it doesn't mean football players are ill-equipped to make great points about big issues in college athletics. It just means that it doesn't appear Tim Tebow is. So let's go through some of the things he said. Now, I ain't got time to go through every sentence that he said, but just some big things that he said that I feel are the most nonsensical of all of the nonsensical things he said. He opened up right at the top by explaining he had one of the best-selling jerseys in the world, not just in college football, but in the world. LeBron, Kobe, Tim Tebow, Florida jersey. I'll take him at his word. I don't know exactly what the jersey sales looked like when Tim Tebow was in college, but undeniably, Florida sold a whole bunch of Tim Tebow jerseys, and he says he never made a dollar from it. I believe that. He says he didn't want to make a dollar from it, and I'll take him at his word, and that's fine. It's fine for Tim Tebow, but why does he think the idea that he didn't want to make a dollar off his jersey sale should somehow prohibit other people from making a dollar off their jersey sales? Like, if Tim Tebow doesn't want to make money off his name, image, and likeness when he's a college athlete, fine. Nobody would have made him do it. Nobody would have said, no, Tim Tebow, you must take this money. You must cash these checks. But it didn't mean other players wouldn't want to. Maybe other players who didn't grow up the same way Tim Tebow grows up. I don't know his family dynamic exactly, but I don't think he grew up poor. I know a lot of his teammates did. They maybe could have used some money that would go along with jersey sales or autograph sales or other things that this bill in California would allow them to accept in exchange for the name, image, and likeness. So I can respect Tim Tebow for not wanting to benefit from his jersey sales financially, but I don't mean that it ain't right to allow others to do it. It doesn't mean it's wrong to allow others to do it. If Tim Tebow decides he don't want to accept money for talking on television, he could give that back too. If Tim Tebow decides next time he's going to go speak at a church, he don't want to accept that money, he can give that back too. I don't care what Tim Tebow does with his money that he deserves. But Tim Tebow insisting he didn't want the money that most people, including California lawmakers, think he deserved when he was in college, doesn't mean other people should be prohibited from it. He also said that allowing athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness would add a, quote, selfish culture to college athletics. It would add to the already established selfish culture we have in this country. I mean, what does that even mean? Tell me how, Tim Tebow. Wanting fair market value for your talents does not make you selfish. You know what it makes you? Normal. It makes you normal. Wanting to be compensated in whatever way somebody is willing to be compensated for your talent doesn't make you selfish. It makes you normal. That's what normal, talented people do. If you have any sort of talent that other people value, people are going to be willing to compensate you for it. And most people are going to want to be compensated as well as they can possibly be while weighing the pros and cons of other dynamics of any job type job. And it doesn't make you selfish. I don't ever feel selfish looking at my direct deposits from any of the employees I have. I'll get paid to do all sorts of little things in addition to the big things that I do. Hey, could you show up here? We'll give you $1,000 to do this. Could you show up this? We'll give you this one. I don't ever feel selfish. If somebody's willing to pay me to do these things, I'm happy to do them. And I'm happy to take the money. And I don't feel like I don't deserve it. You might think I don't deserve it, and perhaps you got a point. But as long as somebody thinks I deserve it, I'm going to be happy to take it. I got three kids. So the idea that student athletes would want to be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, the idea that that would add to the, quote, selfish culture makes no sense whatsoever. Wanting to profit off of your name, image, and likeness, wanting to take advantage of your fair market value, it doesn't make you selfish. It simply makes you normal. He said that, Tim Tebow did, that allowing student athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness would create a system where the recruits go wherever the most money exists. He actually said more than that. He said it'll make it like the NFL, where you just go where the most money is. That's not actually like the NFL. Like, the NFL has a draft. They have all sorts of things where people can't actually just go where the most money is. So his even analogy as he sets it up doesn't quite make sense. But whatever, his central point is that if you allow student-athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, we will create a system where the players just go wherever the most money is. And on this point, he and I actually agree. He's 100% right that by and large, if you allow student-athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, they will go to the schools with the best corporate backing and most intense boosters willing to give them the most money. I agree. But what Tim Tebow fails to recognize or acknowledge, or both, is that that's pretty much already the system we have in place. That's pretty much already how college sports work. Trivia time, Connor. Who do you think has the largest football budget in NCAA football?
Probably Texas.
That's a good guess, but it's not true.
Alabama?
Alabama. Alabama has the number one football budget in the country, according to the latest AP database, which isn't perfect because they can't account for every penny here and there, but it is as close to as accurate as we're going to get. Alabama spends in excess of $56 million a year on its football program. Now, they make way more than that, but they spend $56 million. So Tim Tebow's point is, if we allow the schools with the most money to offer compensation in exchange for players' name, image, and likeness, what we're going to do is have a system where the schools that got the most money, that are willing to spend the most money, they're going to get the best players. Now, we just established the school that spends the most money on football is Alabama. Trivia time. Who do you think had the number one recruiting class in the country last year in football?
I'm going to say Alabama.
Ding, ding, ding. So already, the school that spends the most on football gets the best players in the sport of football. It's already how it works. In fact, I went through the top 10. And what you'll find is that every school in the top 10 in football budget in the past year, their most recent recruiting class ranked in the top 19 in the country. Alabama had the biggest budget, number one. They had the number one recruiting class. Florida State actually had the second biggest football budget. They had the 19th ranked recruiting class. But that's actually kind of amazing because they suck at football. But what that proves is they're still willing to spend the money, so they're still going to get the best players. Auburn had the third biggest football budget, 11th best recruiting class. Notre Dame, fourth best recruiting, best football budget, 16th best recruiting class. Georgia, fifth best football budget, second best recruiting class. I could go through it all. Just trust me, the numbers are the numbers. Every single football program that is top 10 in football budget had a top 19 recruiting class. So Tim Tebow is exactly right. The schools that have the most money would get the best players. But that's already the way it works. The only difference between the current system and that system would be that the players on the field who create this revenue would get a cut of the money. Whatever it is, somebody thinks they deserve. So he's right that it would create an imbalance where the schools with the best corporate backing and the most boosters would get the best players. Again, it's already the way it works. It's worked that way for a long, long time. I contend this. You could look at the past 10 recruiting classes, change the rules tomorrow to allow student athletes in all 50 states to accept fair market value in exchange for name, image, and likeness, then look at the next 10 recruiting classes, they would largely look the same. The teams that win the championships would largely be the same. It wouldn't change the order of things in college athletics in any sport much at all. And then finally, Tim Tebow says that amateurism, the idea that student athletes are not allowed to accept fair market value for name, image, and likeness, that's the reason people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL. That's what he says. The reason people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL is because student athletes aren't allowed to be compensated. First off, I'm not even sure if that's true that people are more passionate about college football than the NFL. Like, I guess if you told me make the argument, I could do my best, but I'm not sure it's true. I mean, I watch college football, tailgates, videos pop up every weekend, and it's like pretty girls and guys with pretty girls. I watch videos from tailgates in the NFL. People are fighting nonstop. Like, you wear a Redskins jersey to an Eagles game, the Eagles fans want to beat you up, even if you're 6'10". Last night, there's like Carolina Panthers fans in a weather delay just fighting at by a concession stand. They look passionate to me. I mean, dumb also, but passionate. So I'm not even sure that Tim Tebow's right that people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL, but whatever. That's beside the point. Why does he think, if people are more, why does he think it's because of amateurism? Prove it. That you can't prove it. It is something people say all the time. I acknowledge that. They say people wouldn't care about college athletics the same way if they knew the players were getting paid. First off, you already know the players are getting paid. It's just under the table and dirty. So, like, shut up. But beyond that, why do you think that? It's always an interesting conversation. People say, I don't think people would care about college athletics the same way. You say, really, why do you think that? They can't give you a good reason ever. There's no answer to the question. It's something people say. There's no evidence to support it. There is evidence to discredit it, though. And it's the Olympics. Because people used to say the same thing about the Olympics. I wouldn't care about the Olympics if the athletes were getting paid. I love Mary Lou Retton, but if Mary Lou Retton was a millionaire, I wouldn't love her the same way. And then the Olympics adapted their rules, and they allowed athletes to do exactly what California lawmakers now want athletes to be able to do, which is accept money in exchange for their name, image, and likeness. And it doesn't mean everybody gets anything, but it means Michael Phelps gets a lot. It means Simone Biles gets a lot. It means Usain Bolt gets a lot. Did it kill the Olympics? I feel like every time Michael Phelps is in a pool, people are fired up. I feel like every time Usain Bolt runs, people are fired up. I feel like every time Simone Biles flips, people are fired up. Didn't hurt the Olympics. Simone Biles is a millionaire. Michael Phelps is a bazillionaire. Nobody cared. It didn't hurt the Olympics. There's no evidence whatsoever that it hurt the Olympics. There's no evidence whatsoever that it would hurt college athletics. You really think you grew up your whole life watching college football on Saturday, and because now the quarterback had a $250,000 deal with Nike, you just couldn't bear to watch? It's stupid. Like, it's such a stupid thing to say. Yeah, people say it all the time. Tim Tebow said it on national television this morning. So I tweeted about it early, and boy, the replies got dumb, dumb, dumb real, real quick. And I couldn't possibly address all of them, but I do want to address two. One reply came from a guy named Kevin Hardesty. I'm sure he's a decent dude in his own world. But he tweeted the following. He said, paying athletes will create a whole list of problems. Giving kids money will be disruptive to the team aspect as well. First off, another place where people just miss. Not paying athletes or allowing them to be paid is what creates the problems. It creates the black market. It creates the FBI investigation. Allowing student athletes to be compensated according to their fair market value, whatever that is, wouldn't create a bunch of problems. It'd fix a bunch of problems. The problems are there right now. And giving kids money would be disruptive to the team aspect? What? First off, for the millionth time, they're not kids. They're young adults. We talk about them like they're eight. They're young adults. They're largely 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-olds. They're young adults. We let them drive cars. We let them fight in wars. We let them buy cigarettes and beer. They're not kids. And why would players making money be disruptive to the team aspect? Explain that. And then when you're done sounding stupid, explain why it doesn't disrupt the team aspect of the New York Yankees or the LA Clippers or the New England Patriots. And I had somebody try on Twitter. Person said, well, how's it going to go when some people are making a lot and other people aren't making nearly as much or possibly nothing? And I said, it'll go just like when Mike Conley makes $30 million and somebody else makes $300,000. Like, there's nothing unique about the concept. In any place where talent is at the root of the entity, people are compensated in whatever ways that somebody else thinks they're worth, and it ain't always the same. Everybody on the NBA roster don't make the same amount of money. Two guys might work just as hard, show up for work same time every day, work just as hard, sweat just as much. They don't make the same amount of money. LeBron James doesn't make the same paycheck every 2 weeks that the 11th guy on the bench makes in LA. And this is true not just in sports, everywhere. Do you think everybody who works here has the same paycheck? Do you think everybody who talks into this microphone I'm talking into right now makes the same amount of money? They don't. Not everybody here makes what I make to do this. Similarly, do you think everybody at CBS makes the same amount of money? Do you think me and Tony Romo's paychecks look the same? I work just as hard as Tony Romo, maybe harder, long as we're being honest. But guess what? I'm probably, long as we're being honest, not as talented as Tony Romo. Certainly not as good looking. Definitely not as valuable. And yet I go to work every day and I'm happy to get what I get. Even if it ain't a fraction of what Tony Romo gets. And I know people come here every day and they're happy to get what they get. That's the way the world works. So if anything, what lesson would we be teaching kids? We'd be teaching them a lesson about real life. If you're in a workplace, talent is valued. If you're the most talented person there, you'll make the most money. If you're not, you won't. There's a place for everybody. So that was Kevin Hardesty. Then I got a tweet from Brad. He said, okay, Parrish, I'll play along. If we allow student athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, which means we allow boosters to basically, you know, give anything they want. If Mark Goodfellow wants to give $400,000 to Musa Cisse to enroll at Memphis, he would, according to the California state law, if it were in effect in all 50 states, be allowed to do that. So somebody says, well, how would we stop that? Like, what if a booster, overzealous, just cares too much guy, wants to give a student athlete $100,000 to come out to his place of business and sign autographs for an hour? How would we stop that? Mike, I'll ask you a question. Why would we want to? Who cares? Who cares? What we've already established is that what that would create is a system where the schools with the most intense boosters, the most money connected to them, would get the best players. We've already established that's what it would do. We've already established that's already the way the world works. So why would you prevent it? And then my larger point would be this. Why are we so offended at the idea of a student athlete being bought by the biggest schools with the most money? And yet we don't even blink when it happens for coaches literally every year. How do we stop a booster from paying $100,000 to get the best prospect to go to his best school? We wouldn't. We don't stop him from buying the coaches. Nobody tried to stop Texas A&M's boosters from buying Jimbo Fisher. Nobody tried to stop Alabama's boosters from buying Nate Oates from Buffalo. Someday, nobody's going to try to stop a Power 5 school with tons of money from buying Mike Norvell away from Memphis. Why do we think it's okay for the biggest boosters to buy the best coaches, but it would be the downfall of college athletics if the biggest boosters bought the best players? Why is it okay here and unimaginable here? You cannot logically explain that away. But if you want to try, I'll give you a chance a little later on this hour. Dan Wilkins up next.
An amazing thing happened the other day. My son Ben and I were out to lunch, and Ben said, "Hey, Dad, I like your pants." Now, I've been on this earth for 57 years, and one thing nobody has ever said to me is, "I like your pants," especially my 22-year-old son. I never imagined he'd even notice my pants, but that's what happens when you shop for quality clothing and when you listen to the gentle suggestions of the people at O'Call. The pants I was wearing that day happened to be Brack's pants. I never would have bought them if they hadn't been suggested to me. But they're incredibly comfortable, and irrefutably stylish. They make me look good. Yes, that's me, Jeff Calkins. Who would have figured that? This doesn't just apply to the pants at O'Call either. It applies to everything they sell. Sweaters, jackets, suits, ties. Quality clothing just feels different, and it just looks different. It's why O'Call has been in business since 1859. And right now, O'Call is brimming with new fall merchandise. Stop in and sharpen up your own wardrobe today. If O'Call can make me look stylish, well, just imagine what it can do for you.
Tunica's next big winner is here. Welcome to Gold Strike's Moneyline Book Bar and Grill. It's your best bet for watching all the football action. Place your bets on all the day's big games. You'll never miss a score with over 50 HD TVs, bringing every play to you live. Eat and drink like a champ. All your favorite sports bites and beers are on the menu. And when you're ready to play, test your skills in the Mid-South's first Top Golf Swing Suite. It's more fun than you can tackle. Only at Gold Strike Casino Resort. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Speaking of golf, this is Marty Fulton. You probably remember me from Holiday Golf, Whispering Woods, or Plantation. I'm a PGA Life member, and over the years, I found whenever I advised Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spinsdorf about his golf game, whether it was about equipment or a swing, invariably he still couldn't hit the ball out of a paper bag, mainly because he spent so much time selling homes. That's why people often say, when you want the job done, you call Sheldone.
Thanks, Marty. That's right. I spend far too much time on my house game than on my golf game. I tell people that they need to talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers and make sure that I am one of them. They need to find out the difference in what others do and my highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option. If you or someone you know is thinking of selling their home, have them contact me, Sheldon Rosengarten, at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. That's 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like company pages where you can get people excited about working for you. And we give you this toy monkey, which will bang its cymbals when the right resume appears. Okay, there is no monkey.
I said there is no monkey!
But company pages, for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo to try company pages for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The sports book at the Fitz is now open. So whether you want to make a major wager or try your luck with a couple bucks, do it at the sports book at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
FedEx employees, have you heard? There's a financial institution just for you. FedEx Employees Credit Association. Join today to get bigger returns and competitive rates on savings, checking, loans, investing with less and lower fees all around. Visit FECCA.com to apply.
O'Reilly. Protect your engine with 5 quarts of Castrol Edge full synthetic motor oil and a Wix filter for just $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. You can also earn bonus O rewards points on Castrol Edge motor oil products right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is happening. Our busy company's buzzing like the hornet's nest in the tree outside. Then Tina walks in.
We've got a projections problem, Brian. Management's given us crazy numbers to hit and not enough crew to handle it.
I spring into action like a human hornet and jump on Upwork. I book a team of remote freelance pros, each ready to start immediately. And those projections, with Upwork, this is happening. Hey, Tina, want to get lunch?
Thanks, but there's hornets outside.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Like I said in the next segment, you want to call in and try to defend Tim Tebow's honor, help make his points for him, I'll give you a chance at 535-3776. But right now, I'm going to talk to national columnist USA Today. His name's Dan Walken. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Dan Walken, I first want to apologize for getting to you so late. I was ranting a little bit, and I got carried away. I think.
You ranting?
I was ranting a little bit. I got carried away.
No way.
I got carried away. I know it's out of character for me, but I got carried away. Let's start with this. What is Tim Tebow talking about?
Well, look, Tim Tebow is a true believer, probably on a number of levels, and he has a worldview that views college athletics as a pure enterprise, that it is uncorrupted, it is moral, it is just, and that if you introduce money into it, it makes it corrupt and unjust. But the problem is there is already money in college sports. Everyone, in fact, is able to make money off of college sports except for those who play it, whether you're talking about coaches or agents or athletic directors who cash in on bonuses when their golf team wins a conference title. Everyone is allowed to make money except for the people who play it. So this idea that somehow if you introduce money into it, that everything is ruined and that there's this whole moral world that you're piercing with corruption is silly. It just doesn't. It's not how things work in the real world.
And one of the arguments I've made is that it actually, like, makes it less corrupt because it brings everything out into the light. We'd never have to, again, wonder why somebody like Raleigh Hawkins decided to go across the country to Arizona. We would know exactly why. In fact, you know, people say, you know, the Olympic model, what California is essentially trying to bring to its state and hopefully to the rest of the country, the Olympic model would create all sorts of issues, and I contend it would actually fix a lot of issues.
Sure. I mean, if you have a scenario where everyone understands what everyone's getting to do certain things or to go to certain places. Now, there's also, I think, something to be said for the fact that a lot of the popularity and marketability comes, frankly, after someone's already proven something in college athletics. I go back to Johnny Manziel. I don't think Johnny Manziel as a prospect, a three-star prospect, would have been worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. He was just kind of a guy. But once he establishes himself as a great college player and as a Heisman Trophy winner, the value that he can generate based on his own talent and popularity is significant. And so why should somebody who has the ability to generate that based on who they are, based on their name, image, likeness, not be able to do that often at the height of their marketing potential, which is in college, is I think something that should disturb people, that they're not allowed to do that. And bringing all that into the light, you know, as opposed to Todd Gurley getting suspended from games at Georgia because he autographed some stuff and sold it for a few hundred dollars or a couple thousand dollars. Just make it legal. It's not hurting anyone. And it certainly doesn't hurt the players, doesn't hurt the schools. This is just basic stuff. You have a value based on who you are, and you get compensated for what somebody's willing to pay. That's how That's how life works in every other aspect of society.
I'm talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. The point you made earlier is that people think if you bring money into college athletics, it somehow corrupts everything we believe in as it relates to college athletics. And as you point out, like, there's so much money already attached. Like, it's a nonsensical point. The NCAA, when addressing SB 206 earlier this week, in its press release, in its statement, said, "We do not want college athletics to look like professional sports." And the truth is, you and I know this, in the SEC, the ACC, college football, college basketball, it already resembles professional sports. Your arenas look like professional sports. Your television contracts look like professional sports. The way your teams travel look like professional sports. The amount you charge for tickets looks like professional sports. Every aspect, your coaching salaries look like professional sports. Every aspect of everything looks exactly like a professional sport, except for the people we put on a court or on a field. And I don't know why that's so hard for some to recognize.
Right. Well, look, there was a time in this country and in this world where there was an attitude that getting paid to play sports was a bad thing. Like, that's why back in the 1950s, that if you wanted to play in the U.S. Open in golf or tennis, you know, if you wanted to play Wimbledon in tennis, you had to be an amateur. If you wanted to be a professional and go make money, you know, that was something else. That was a different sport. You went and played on a tour and they paid you to play, but the real purity of the game was to be an amateur and not get paid. But that was that essentially made those sports for the privileged, you know, for the rich and for the privileged. And eventually it changed, and the whole attitude about sports changed, and it went from golf and tennis to the Olympics to football and basketball, where it was in and of itself a good thing to be so talented at sports that people wanted to pay to watch you play, and thus you became the show, you became the entertainment value. And that's where we are in college sports. I mean, yes, there's a lot of things that go into it, and I do think that, people, their rooting attachment is largely rooted in the university rather than the players for the most part. But at the same time, the players are the entertainment value. It's why people want to go to the games, to see the win or the loss based on what the players are doing. But for the NCAA to say that they have no opportunity to go capitalize on that value, even if they're not paid directly by the schools, is just a fundamental right that college athletes are not getting, that they should be able to get, that everyone else on campus gets.
I'm talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. You had a column on SB 206, the Fair Pay for Play Act, earlier this week at usatoday.com, and the point you made is exactly right. Like, the NCAA has a tight grip on amateurism, and the idea that they're just going to give it up because California lawmakers say they should is foolish. This is not going to be a simple process going forward. I recognize we're all guessing about the impact of SB 206 and what's next for the NCAA, but what's your best guess at how the next 3 years unfold?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, the NCAA has had a pretty good record in court. It's interesting, even though they lost the O'Bannon case, they lost the Alston case, and they've been called a cartel, you know, essentially by the court system. The threshold still has not been met by any judge or any courtroom where the whole basis of the way the NCAA does business is upended. In other words, even though O'Bannon, the NCAA lost, they took an L in the courtroom, the judge said, well, the cost of attendance is enough. You don't have to pay players. You don't have to give them name, image, and likeness. Same thing with Alston. NCAA loses the case, and yet the judge says all you have to do to comply with this ruling is to open up benefits that are tied to education. Again, nothing that's going to fundamentally change the way amateurism works. So I just look at that and say, is there going to be a courtroom? Is there going to be a judge when the NCAA sues California or when some of these schools take this to court, is there going to be a judge that says NCAA amateurism's dead and you have to give them full name, image, and likeness rights? I don't know. I haven't seen any evidence that a court's willing to do that yet. So until I do, then I'm a little bit skeptical that the NCAA is going to suffer a loss in that realm.
I'm wrapping up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, different subject, actual college football. Tonight in prime time, got a fairly interesting game. Washington State, ranked 20th in the country, undefeated, beating two bad teams against Houston, which is 1-1 with that season-opening loss to Oklahoma. The game is being played at NRG Stadium in Houston. Washington State's like a 9-point favorite. Your old buddy Mike Leach, of course.
Yeah.
How big of an opportunity is this for not just Houston, but the AAC in general?
Yeah, well, anytime you get a Power 5 team, a top 25 team at home, and you're the AAC, you want to beat them. It's like a notch in the belt, and Memphis has one already this year with Ole Miss. I don't know how good Washington State is. Offensively, they've looked good against a couple overmatched teams. And Houston's defense, certainly against Oklahoma, did not look like they have a lot of weapons to stop a good offense. So I'm expecting Washington State will put up a whole bunch of points tonight. And then it's just a matter of, you know, can Houston and De'Aaron King keep up with their offense? But yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for Houston to get that done. Washington State's what, 9.5-point favorite, something
right.
like that.
Right.
So I think the line kind of reflects the idea that this is going to be a really tough one for Houston.
That is Dan Walken. You can read him at usatoday.com. Make sure you find him on Twitter. At Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye. That's Dan Walken from USA Today, the man who first turned me on to Bianca Andreescu. When we come back, I told you, take your calls, 535-3776, on the Tim Tebow comments that went viral this morning, his resistance to go anywhere near SB 206, the Fair Play for Pay Act that is soon to become law. Signed into law, at least in the state of California. A lot of you out there on social media defending Tim Tebow, you are the people I want to talk to. Listen, there's nothing I love more than people telling me, GP, you're right. GP, you're the best. GP, I love it more than I probably should. But for the purposes of radio, that's not really what I'm after in this next segment. I don't really need to hear that I'm right. I already know I'm right. I want to hear from the people who will try to take issue with any of the points I made in the opening segment that will try to defend Tim Tebow's stance on SB 206. If you're one of those people, you want to take a shot? Take a shot. 535-3776. I'll talk to you next.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
Police officer Darren Hall.
As Memphis mayor, nothing is more exciting to me than swearing in new police officers.
Police officer Teresa Gavin.
This is Jim Strickland. Since taking office, we have been aggressively recruiting more police to rebuild a police force that had been dangerously depleted.
Police officer Daniel Rodriguez.
Today, we have more than 450 new officers, the first net gain of officers in 7 years.
Police officer Reginald Robinson.
And we are continuing to recruit even more, because with more officers patrolling our streets, with more programs for our young people, we can build a city where every neighborhood is safe.
Jim Strickland, leadership matters. You can early vote at any location September 13th through September 28th. Paid for by friends of Jim Strickland, Paula Casey, treasurer.
The Fitz has done it again. They've gone and upgraded, updated, and elaborated, modernized, stylized, and re-energized. Changes like you would not believe. Just getting better and better all the time, y'all. Now, there's still all the same great action on the casino floor, but with a new layout and look. Brighter, more color, it's a better place to play now. New table games and new slots. Can I get an amen here? Oh, and check this out. There's a new store, The Market, where you can use comps or cash. You can me? And there are two new restaurants, too. Buttruckers with the world's best burgers and Bizarre Pizza. You build it, they cook it. Hey, if I sound like I'm excited, it's because I am. Man, the Fitz even has more new promotions, new ways to win even more. I'm telling you, you'll have a rockin' good time. Or should I say a sham rockin' good time? The Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, desktop, notebook, tablet, a PC, or even an Apple product, you make sure to talk to Lee and Lauren Cooper first. You can reach them at 360-9679, 360-9679. So dial that number, get them on the phone, tell them I said hello, and then tell them what it is you need a computer to do. Like, if you're buying a gaming computer for your teenager, or for yourself, or for your grandma, I don't know who games, you're going to need to spend several thousand dollars on a computer. Otherwise, you're going to get shot over and over and over again. But if you're just somebody who messes around on YouTube, stalks your ex on Facebook, you don't need to go spend like $1,000 on a computer. You can get a computer good enough to do that for a couple $100, $300. Very, very inexpensive. They got MacBook Airs for as low as $599. So if you get that kind of computer, when you're going to do those types of things, you're perfect, because you're not paying for a bunch of programs that you're never going to use. You're paying for exactly what you're going to use, and you're saving money. 360-9679, 360-9679, Coupa Systems on the web, coupasystems.com.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want, and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and autopay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Get to know the number one auto and home insurer in Tennessee, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle. And the reason my name is on the sign is because of my talented team inside. Call us, 901-767-7744. We're all better looking than a lizard.
Hi there, Steve Connolly. You guys heard the buzz about affordable blinds and shutters. Chip Wiggins Company is taking the window covering business by storm here in the Mid-South. Wood and faux shutters and blinds, cordless and motorized roller shades, solar screens for homes or businesses. Check out the Facebook page for videos and pictures. The options are endless. Wholesale prices that fit any budget. AffordableBlindsOfMemphis.com for free estimates, 753-5822. Affordable Blinds of Memphis.
Down home, we sweeten the pot on sweet heat. Get a wallop of our signature honey from Church's new Flamin' Honey Megabites today. 5 megabytes and a honey butter biscuit starting at just $3. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Shopping for a new car? Orion has auto loans starting as low as 1.99% APR. Visit orionfcu.com for more details. APR accurate as of today's date. Conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. It feels
so good. Tim Tebow, the Florida icon, former Heisman Trophy winner, went on First Take this morning on ESPN, spoke for a minute 19 seconds about the Fair Pay for Play Act and didn't make a lick of sense. But some of you think he did. So I'll listen to you. 535-3776, 535-ESPN. We'll start with Tom in Arlington. Tom, it's Gary. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Gary. Appreciate you giving us time to give you a shout.
Sure. Go ahead.
I kind of see both sides to this thing. You know, I mean, something that gets lost is kind of some of the things that the athletes are privy to, which have value to them, not just the scholarship, but, you know, they got first care amenities, first care nutrition and medical care, multi-million dollar facilities that they work out in, tutors. I mean, they've got access to a lot of things, the equipment that's not out on the regular market yet. That there's got to be some value associated with that. But I do agree, but I think the NCAA, what they've got to do now is they've got to establish a guideline where the athletes have a right to be paid, but you know, what do you limit it to? Like 3% of a jersey sale, or
I don't limit it to
$1,500 for an appearance, or
I don't limit it to anything. We don't limit anything else. I'm not limited in what I can make. I'm assuming you're not limited in what you can make. I'm not sure why anybody should be limited when it comes to what they're allowed to profit from, particularly if they are uniquely gifted and famous, like college football and basketball players at the very least often are. And so I hear your initial point about, hey, these student-athletes get a scholarship, they get a cost of attendance stipend, they work out in all of these amazing facilities, and all of that is true. And usually the second part of that argument, and Tom didn't make this, but usually what you hear when folks make that argument is they say, and I would have killed for that stuff because I graduated college 11 years ago, and I'm still paying off student loans. So I'd be super appreciative if I were a student athlete and I could leave college without any sort of debt. And I'm sure you're being sincere. You should have been more awesome, less regular. I don't mean you specifically, Tom. I don't know anything about what you do or who you are. I'm just saying I hear that all the time from other people. You should have. I'd be happy to get what they get. Well, you're not as talented as they are. You don't have a unique ability that makes people want to compensate you to do the things that you can do. I've said this before. Like, if SiriusXM ever went to Howard Stern and said, we're only going to pay you $5 million to do a radio show, he would quit that day. I'd kill to do a radio show for $5 million. But I'm not Howard Stern. He ain't me. It's a different world. And so, leave him, Connor, turned up so I can hear what he responds to me. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I just kind of feel if you don't put some kind of guidelines or some kind of monetary system, then you're really not, you know, you had mentioned before that this might actually clean it up. Well, if you open it up that he can get whatever he can get, then you're kind of still with the old boy system where now you just know he's getting $200,000 to go sign some autographs instead of $1,500.
Right. I appreciate your call, Tom. To that, I would say I don't care. Like, what if you don't put limits on it? This is what people always say. If you don't put limits on it, then the schools with the biggest boosters and the most money, they'll just outbid the other schools. And then the best players will go to the biggest school. That's already the way this works. You think Memphis doesn't have a recruiting advantage over Murray State? You think Tennessee doesn't have a recruiting advantage over Tennessee State? Like, we already have an imbalanced system. People think allowing prospects to accept name, image, and likeness profits would create this imbalanced system where you can get more for going to Tennessee than you get for going to Tennessee State, where you can get more for going to Duke than you can get for going to Duquesne. I insist that system's already in place. Like, if you go to Duke, you charter every flight. If you go to Duquesne, you're on a bus. If you go to Duke, you're playing on national television every game. If you go to Duquesne, you're not. If you go to Duke, you get access to the most incredible facilities in the country. You play in the biggest events college basketball can provide. If you go to Duquesne, you don't. The imbalance is already there. It doesn't create an imbalance that doesn't already exist. Let's go to Lonnie in Millington. Lonnie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for calling.
Man, you are 100% correct. I don't know why a lot of people, Tim Tebow, the guy that just called, no disrespect to him, can't see it's not going to create an imbalance. It's not already there. That's just like the guy that owns Sunrise Pontiac. No, here and there. If he wants to get one of the basketball players or one of the soccer players, a female, male, whichever, they say, hey, I want to give you $10,000 for your name, image, and likeness.
Correct.
To do one of my commercials, I'm going to give you $10,000. What is it going to hurt? He or she is still going to go to school. He or she is still going to have the same athletic ability that they have. They're not going to be throwing games. And, okay, this is him or her, doing something on the side for their name, image, and likeness. Ain't nobody going to stop, I'm not going to another Memphis game because one of the players did
Right. A commercial for Landers Dodge.
I know. I mean, you're perfect. People say that all the time, and I appreciate the call, Lonnie. People say all the time, like, it would ruin college sports. And you say, how? To explain to me in what world does the quarterback, or as Lonnie put it, the women's soccer player getting compensated for usage of their name, image, and likeness, in what world does that ruin college sports? You really think the people who've been going out to the Liberty Bowl for 30 years straight through good times and bad, watching football on Saturday, hanging out with their friends and family, they'd suddenly not go because Brady White got $20,000 to do a Cooper Systems commercial? Like, what are you talking about? It wouldn't. And evidence that it wouldn't is right in the Olympics. People said this same thing about the Olympics. You can't let people like Carl Lewis get paid because what makes the Olympics great is that these are all amateurs. And then the Olympics said at some point, that's crazy. We're going to adapt and modernize our rules, and we're going to allow athletes to profit off of name, image, and likeness. And then Michael Phelps became a bazillionaire, and you watched him on Subway commercials. And then Simone Biles became a bazillionaire, and Usain Bolt was a bazillionaire. And
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.